Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
We are this close to the end, you guys. We've hit the two of the last episodes for this season, and we're coming in for the finale. This is the Red versus Blue after show on Rooster Teeth Reviews on AfterBuzz TV, talking about season 16, episodes 13 and 14, and we will see you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Bow now. I will never get tired of making those noises with my mouth.
There's just something satisfying about that.
They really are. Trucadero, man.
Welcome back to this very special episode on a Sunday.
Sunday. You gotta drop down an octave or two.
Excuse me, no.
Like you're at a monster truck rally.
Do I look like Roger Craig Smith?
Oh, that's... I guess not. You've got much longer hair.
No. I'm glad that that's the discerning physical... That's the thing that sets me apart. Okay. Hi, we're not used to being in the studio before 7 p.m. Welcome to the Red versus Blue after show on Rooster Teeth Reviews on the AfterBuzz TV animation channel. We are looking at season 16, episodes 13 and 14, A Time for Hammers and Lights Out, which I think was a mediocre horror movie at one point.
It was actually really fun. Like... it didn't have the best ending, and like you look at it, you're like, I have questions about how this actually works, but like the actual scares in it were so effective. Like, Megan's gonna keep the light on as she goes to sleep, effective.
OG Paranormal Activity effective.
Not quite, but okay. I'll just fall asleep with the light on, it's fine, and completely unrelated to the terror I feel creeping down my spine.
Yeah, and also completely unrelated to this episode, but a good movie review. And a good title. I have with me, of course, the wonderful Megan Salinas.
Hey, everybody!
Mark Donica is off delivering a hammer. He should be back on Wednesday for the normal show, which neither of us will be here for, so we're doing the two ships passing in a night thing. And I am Katie Cullen. Welcome to the Madhouse. You can participate using the hashtag RTReviews. You can also hop in the live chat if you have anything fun to say about these episodes, which, in my opinion, are two of the best episodes we've had this season.
I completely agree. I know that, like, some of the episodes, especially in the middle of the season, have been kind of hit or miss for a lot of people, and in some cases, for a lot of people, big misses. But these two episodes, I'm like, I am all in, guys. These two episodes were so freaking cool.
These ones, I felt like we were very much back in business.
Yeah, it definitely felt like we were getting right back into the swing of things. They took a lot of what we thought was kind of out there for this season. It took those elements and recontextualize them in a way that makes sense within the Red versus Blue world as we know it as fans that have been watching from the beginning. So I thought that was a brilliant twist. I thought even though some of the dialogue in this was very intense, like I loved where we went in these two episodes.
I honestly think that your enjoyment of this season predicates a little bit on what seasons of Red versus Blue you've enjoyed previously. Like, I feel like people who were really into the Blood Gulch Chronicles probably enjoyed this season a lot more because it tended to be a little more along those lines. Whereas those of us who have been in for season 6 through 8, for Freelancer Drama, for Chorus, people who came in later and are more familiar with the more dramatic stuff may not have enjoyed the more Blood Gulch elements as much, because most of the time travel this season was very, very Blood Gulch.
Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a different flavor.
Yeah, it's a lot of the time travel this season has been joke, 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 like we used to get in the early Blood Gulch seasons. which has been a little bit of a surprise. Not necessarily an unwelcome surprise, but definitely one where it's like, okay, some of this I definitely see is exactly what I would think would happen if this group of people had access to a time machine.
Especially since at one point they lampshaded it. Like, I remember when things used to be simple and there were no consequences. Like, yeah, that's Blood Gulch. Yep. But I think that the fact that I'm very much more into, like I said, season 8 is my favorite season. I refuse to let people skip the Blood Gulch seasons when I'm introducing them to the story, but I definitely enjoy the later seasons more. So I think that might have been why I personally really leaned into these two episodes hard. Because it's a little more what I'm here for.
I've made it no secret over the course of this entire after show and across all of our Rooster Teeth shows.
And the past 15 years.
That season 6 is my absolute favorite.
The past 10 years, then.
I feel like it's the best self-contained season. I feel like it's an excellent change of pace after Blood Gulch. And just in and of itself, I think it's one of the best written. The dialogue's fantastic. But for me, season 6 being my favorite, for everybody who knows what was like the big reveal in season 6, that's one of the reasons why these episodes really landed for me too, because it leans in to that exact same twist, and I kind of dig it.
And on that note, let's talk about the cosmic powers.
Yes! Like phenomenal cosmic powers?
And itty-bitty living space. I got you. I love that we start with, in the beginning was the word, and everyone just goes, nope.
They're like, nope. We're not going that far back. I refuse.
You kind of have to go that far back when you have a creation mythos, which is what this is. I missed the song reference. Because there was in the beginning was the word, everyone groans, and then if you're pulling out a guitar, I'm going to leave. Like, I don't know what song it is they're referencing here, and something in me is like, it's got to be Moody Blues, right? That sounds like a Moody Blues thing.
I did not realize it was a song reference. I'm going to look it up.
I don't know if it is, but the crack about if you pull out a guitar makes me think that it might be. While you're looking that up, thank you.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
in that King Atlas voice. Could you imagine the whole song sung
anyway,
as King Atlas?
Here's Wonderwall.
I need it. I need it in my life. If you're listening, I want it. Give it to me. Anyway, we get an incredibly Grecian, a very Greek mythology sort of origin story, is that Krovos was the original god, the original Titan, the god of time. And he created all of these other gods, like he was the father of these gods and made them do his bidding, and they rebelled and essentially slew the Titans, slew these original creations, locked Krovos up in a labyrinth on a treadmill, which I think is my favorite ridiculous trap that I've heard of in a while. And I love Rube Goldberg traps.
To me, that sounds like hell. Being on a treadmill for all eternity, they put him in hell.
I mean, Griffin Reese. He's continually walking but going nowhere. He's continually walking but going nowhere.
As long as it's like on the walking setting, then that's not too bad.
Yeah. I don't know. Every episode I've seen of Cutthroat Kitchen that has a treadmill prep station has been like, nope, this is the worst thing ever. Okay.
Well,
any luck on the song front?
I can't find any particular song lyrics. There's a Beatles song called The Word, but it doesn't look like that's what this was referencing. Although in John 1:1, in one of the versions of the Bible, doesn't say which one, it just says, in the beginning there was the Word was with God, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
It is very much a biblical thing. But I was wondering if there wasn't a specific song they were referencing because of the guitar comment.
Maybe they were referencing, I don't know if there is a song. There may very well be song lyrics that do that. But maybe they were just referencing how in like a lot of Christian worship sessions, you know, there's an acoustic guitar involved.
This is true. Well, until proven otherwise, I'm going to go with Moody Blues because you ever listened to a Moody Blues album?
Not in a long time.
Yeah. It's about right for them, honestly. So, yeah, we have our gods who are not actually gods and not actually all-powerful. And I love that we kind of roll this out in phases and that there's a logical step and that it's not just like, wait a minute, this. It's like, oh, wait, no, there's logic to it. And it answers a question that I was asking earlier. Because everyone does the whole, I want a sword too. And Caboose, God bless him, I want that. Which, knowing what we know about Jenkins, is probably...
I hope he eats that golf club later.
I hope he eats that golf club. By force.
Especially because he's just a big, round AI. Hit him like a golf ball.
I have actually seen someone get hit with a golf club in the face.
Oh, shoot. Are you kidding?
It was on the backswing, too. Which is... Whoa. There's not a lot of force in the backswing. There's a lot on the forward swing. It was bad. It was bad.
That sounds terrible.
So every time someone uses a golf club as a weapon, people are like, ah, golf clubs. And I'm like, you don't understand. I've seen what a 7-iron can do in close proximity. Don't, no. Golf clubs are a thing, y'all.
So,
rough. And it looks like it's a wood. It looks like it's a really good driver. So I hope he eats it.
So
there are many things we will forgive in this show, but Jenkins isn't one of them.
Jenkins has done the unforgivable in these episodes.
He has.
I will say I love the reveal of them being AI. As I mentioned, season 6 was my favorite. So this harkens back to the Alpha reveal in that season. But if, like, Alpha also had magical powers, which is what these AI have, and it's not so much magic, so much it is they just come from a race with different technology that seems like magic from our limited perspective.
They're Asgardians.
Yeah! In my world, they're one and the same.
And I love that they introduced it as, well, we can kind of influence people's thoughts with our appearances, but we can't actually mess with people, because Wash, like, I have a really bad headache, can you help? And initially we were looking at the three wishes thing and going, why don't they wish to fix Wash? Like, if we're looking at almighty cosmic powers, why don't we? Well, they can't. And I love that they kind of, that this came with such a natural conversation, with a very natural progression, like, oh, okay, that's why. Question answered, thank you. Or Wash, though. And we'll get to that.
Because
we will get to that.
We were sitting here watching and going, fix Wash, fix Wash. Oh, yeah.
It's like, we actually can't. Oh, okay.
And on the one hand,
Simmons figures out that they're AI that can affect the fabric of the universe, but not any given sentient being, from the looks of it.
Which is both understandable and frustrating, because if we could just wish what happened to Wash away, then that immediately removes the central conflict in the next episode.
The problem would be gone forever.
That problem would be gone forever. and it is...
The more you know.
knowing is half the battle. But on the one hand, it's a little bit frustrating, because it's like, ah, dang it. Like, oh, we were so close to fixing it. On the other hand, the only thing I'm kind of bummed about, it was funny seeing everybody get their own sword, but the only thing I'm kind of bummed about is that this takes my Calibur in theory and throws it right out the window. I was really looking into that Excalibur parallel, and it just turned out to be a nonsense joke, which is totally fine. It's on me for looking too much into it. But I was
kind
just
of
like,
love it, though.
I was just like, aw.
But what if? Nope.
Okay, it's fine.
These are a bunch of fun swords with no mythos behind them. The Dark Paladin quest is still limited to Tucker and Locus.
I like
it. And only one of them has decided to do anything with it.
Ah, Locus, come back.
Yeah, pretty much. I miss Locus. I miss him a lot. Mm-hmm. That beautiful idiot. That's half this show, but that beautiful idiot.
There's so many beautiful idiots.
So we have Krovos trapped, and he... Evidently, the time machine was his fault, that he was able to mess with Temple and get him to make it, and then when it worked, was able to reach out to Donut. And so this has all been his doing, so it has come down like that. Like,
for years, my machinations laid undetected.
He sent out his fabulous Jesus into the world to grab his non-fabulous apostles and do their bidding. Yeah. Nice. So they have completely hecked up time, and it's too late to fix anything, which I guess is when we start getting into paradox territory. Yeah. But they can go and re-up the boundaries around Krovos with the hammer. And I loved the explanation for the hammer and just the continual, why didn't you call it this? Why didn't you call it that?
Valley Everyone Maker.
Thunderclap. Ooh, this is fun.
I have a newfound appreciation for King Atlas.
Yeah. Like, once we saw another side of him that wasn't just being a massive dick, he can be fun. So he, very much a Zeus figure.
Oddly enough, fits in pretty well with this group of idiots.
He really does.
But yeah, you were saying that the hammer, in terms of the way it works.
Yeah, they basically have to go hit Krovos with it, and it will re-up all of the defenses around him. Like, counterintuitive, I know, but that's magic for you. Just like, I love that we just straight up have, it's magic, I don't have to explain it, as a thing. That makes me very happy.
It's a fun reference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciated everything leading up to this. I am sad that they didn't name it Thunderclap, but it's the hammer, not a hammer.
It is the epitome of hammers. It is the hammer of hammers. It is the essence of hammer. It is hammer time. And
the time hammer?
The time hammer. Hammer and time. Then donut. Much like Jenkins told us at the end of last episode, he's a little tired of getting abused by his friends. Because that was a lot of verbal abuse there. That was a lot of, oh, you're nothing. You're an empty suit with a half-good throwing arm. Like, yikes.
That was... The verbal abuse that Donut has suffered in this season has been very heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah.
Especially since we know how sensitive he is just as a person, first and foremost. And two, how little they care about when he disappears.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before in the past. Like, it's Donut. Like, I'm sure from their mentality, it's just, he'll always come back. It's fine. He's our annoying little brother.
He died once, and then it was okay.
Yeah.
That will forever be my sticking point for this series, is he should have stayed dead because him coming back hecked with the stakes on both sides of the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me.
But for them, I'm sure they think of it as like they're all doing their thing and Donut's their annoying little brother who just comes in and annoys them every now and then. But like, he'll always come back. It's fine. As you pointed out, like, even that time he died, it was fine and he showed back up. So I feel like they don't appreciate him.
They don't.
And so it's really sad to see that finally sinking in for Donut. It's heartbreaking.
It is. I just, words.
It's heartbreaking, but at the same time, it's understandable. You can't treat someone like garbage for years and years and years without expecting consequences at some point.
Well, and the status quo on this show, we kept it fairly similar in the first five seasons. Like, it was always a little weird, it was always a little wild, and these are these characters. From then on, the status quo has changed so much. We've swapped people in and out of blue team, red team has come into its own a lot more. There have been actual stakes, larger stakes to the things they've been involved in. Like, it's much harder to keep elements of the status quo now without examining them in the light of all the character development that we've had for all of our characters. And so still saying, oh yeah, no, it's Donut, it stays the same. The show is different now. You can't just stay there. Like, the audience at this point has become aware that, yeah, this is how we treat Donut, but that doesn't make it a good thing.
It doesn't make it right.
So then the show becoming more aware of, this is how we treat Donut, that doesn't make it a good thing, and there being consequences for those actions is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've come way too far to just be like, oh no, it's Donut, he's gay and we make jokes. Like, it's not 2000 anymore, you guys. We've moved on. And the fact that the show in and out of character is moving on with it is pretty great.
Yeah. Good, meaningful, game-changing character development. I like
yes.
it.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
In a way, and I know a lot of people had issue with the scene with Tucker a couple episodes ago, but like, this development, I feel like I don't have to justify.
Yeah.
Like, this feels like a natural progression
oh, yeah.
of what's happening.
Absolutely. Like, we had 10 months of vacation and then everything went to hell and we've been dumping on Donut the entire time. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't really blame him. Like, nope. We all kind of know that it's the wrong decision, but at the same time, when the right decision is with these assholes, the wrong decision looks really appealing.
It's, yeah, it's hard to continue doing the right thing if the people that you're doing the right thing with treat you terribly.
If the people you're doing the right thing with are the wrong reasons.
That's not a bad way of putting it.
I do my best. Speaking of doing your best, and speaking of making the right decisions...
Hey, After Buzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't worry, because they're optional. So hit the subscribe button for now, for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
So yeah, hop on to the other shows on the Animation Network and let them know that we sent you. I mean, Voltron just ended, but Voltron's also coming back in a couple weeks. Attack on Titan starts soon. Oh, South Park lives there.
So
the,
excited.
The weekly anime review show is there. They've just started doing My Hero Academia, which is me going, oh, no one on this panel has watched this show before. And they've just started My Hero. Like, make some popcorn, watch their reactions. Bless that show.
From
it's so good.
From a purely selfish standpoint on my part, go check out the Sci-Fi channel, too. The Sci-Fi, that's where all the superhero stuff lives. That's where all the horror stuff lives. Go check it out, guys. It's so much fun.
It's all fun here. Like, if there's a show that you watch, odds are we cover it in some capacity, so go find it, because it's great.
Yep.
Yes. Speaking of things that are great, Wash, honey.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, I made no secret of the fact that I'm not fond of the direction that they've taken him. It's extremely well executed, and it's very much a personal thing on my end. It's less leave Washington alone and leave his memories alone. But they've done it so well this season. And these two episodes and everything finally, this was incredibly well done.
It was. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, again, it's hard watching a character you know and love go through something like this. Mm-hmm. And just the dramatic irony of his speech about the importance of learning from mistakes. And we can't meddle with the past. The past is done. You know,
and he of all people would know that because he spent 3 seasons trying to get revenge, which is nothing but retaliation for the past.
Did you write down the line he
I
used,
wrote down
like memory
quite a few
yeah.
of them.
The past is like the dirt.
The time guns can't fix us. The past is done. Do better now. Be better now. Now is the only time that's ever mattered. And mistakes are the dirt we grow from. You can't argue with cause and effect. You made a mess and you need to clean it up.
I just love that.
It was such a good speech.
Much. It's not only is it like a good speech in and of itself, just in terms of the nature of learning from your mistakes and moving forward and trying to make the future better as opposed to trying to fix the past.
Yeah.
A lot of time travel stories sort of delve into that of like, oh, you're trying to fix something in your present by fixing something in the past. It doesn't work that way. So,
And the whole tagline from Donut was, to save the future, we must fix the past.
Yeah.
Super vague.
So I love that just on the surface, this is a good speech contextually for a time travel story. But it has that extra layer of dramatic irony because he doesn't realize the full ramifications of what's happened to him.
And just zooming in on Carolina going, we've all made mistakes. We've all, yeah, like, just, I was
like,
wondering when that was going to come
said
full circle.
The absolute right thing.
Without knowing it.
And just, well, without knowing, the full ramifications of his current situation.
Yeah.
It's so good. And so when this is the moment where Carolina can't take hiding it from him anymore.
Just the moment where he says, yeah, you don't have to fix it alone. I'm going with you. I'm with you on this. Like, I'm sure this is something that happens a lot. The, I believe in you, you just have to try, you can do this. He's been living with these guys long enough that I'm sure he's made more than one, hey, pick yourself up, dust yourself up, keep going, it'll be fine. Like, he does these speeches. And so this one being so different because he's different and doesn't know it. And that bit at the end of, I'm here to support you, I'm here to help, we can do this, and her knowing that that is just not the case.
We watch a lot of anime, we watch a lot of, like, movies, and I have never seen an I'm with you moment completely undercut like this.
And it's beautiful.
I've seen it undercut in other ways, but I've never seen it undercut quite this way. And I feel like everything being laid out in the open, just seeing the way he emotionally reacted to it was completely understandable, and like all of that dramatic weight was just so good.
And how it completely turned once Carolina finally told him, no, you're injured, you have brain damage. Cerebral hypoxia. Which... no oxygen to the brain for several minutes. Several seconds is enough to really screw you up. Several minutes? The fact that he's still functional?
Yeah, this I mentioned the Sci-Fi Channel earlier. This was a plot point in season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. And man, was it rough.
Yeah.
It was a rough one to watch.
Because there's no magic way to fix this. Sometimes the brain recovers, sometimes it doesn't. There's no way to know, and not a lot that you can do. And so her finally telling him, and him turning on a dime and getting so furious because he's been so frustrated, he can't work things out, he doesn't know why. She's known this whole time. It's been a year since his injury. She's known this entire time that he has brain damage and hasn't told him. And how are you supposed to fix a problem or even begin to handle a problem if you don't know it's there? He literally had no idea that he wasn't functioning at peak capacity and couldn't understand why these lapses kept happening. Like, yeah, I got hurt and my memory of the past year is a little hecked up, but brain damage, I don't think ever was part
really
of the equation for him.
Because he's had issues with memories before.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, but I got through it. I'll get through this, too.
Yeah. Like, I had to put myself back together after Epsilon. It's fine. It's okay. I'll figure this out. I'm good at this. Like, and I'm just like, no, this is actual physical brain damage.
Like,
that's different.
I mentioned this earlier this season. This doesn't justify Carolina lying to him in any way. But I also love the way they put her in this situation. Because again, if anybody has any experience dealing with like a family member with dementia or anything like that, you understand completely where she's coming from in this decision to keep it from him. But you see now, again, now that it's all out in the open, how wrong a decision it was. You understand, but it's not the right thing to do.
And just that moment where he turns on the reds and blues as well. Like, was I the only one who didn't know?
And they were
because
all like,
that would have been the worst.
And they were all like, we have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like, what? He has braid? What?
Because Carolina's been like, he's kidding every time a memory issue came up.
And like, everyone else just kind of buys it because, okay, Wash is kind of a dork sometimes. It's great. It's fine. Whatever.
Because he's Agent Washington. He's always
He'll
going
be
to be fine.
He's not fine.
He's a big badass. He always comes through.
He's not fine. Dear everyone saying memory is the key in chat, we know. We know.
Such a cool t-shirt.
Yeah, I have one. Yeah. I managed to get the baseball shirt before they sold out. It's very nice. But yeah, no, that obviously he's upset for a reason because, again, you can't fix the problem if you don't know it exists.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know. And I guess Carolina had the medical say-so, so no one told him because she got to make that decision. And she made a poor one.
Which, can we just give a shout-out both to Jen and to Shannon for
yes!
their performances here? Because,
oh my
holy
God, yes.
hell.
A while ago, when the season had only just started, only several weeks in, they both went on, they went on Twitter and they went on Tumblr because Shannon likes trolling us on Tumblr and some things never change. I love it. Talking about how they had just recorded some of the best material they'd done in a while. And I think this was it.
Absolutely.
This was
hands
so
down.
Incredibly good.
Yeah, it was like, again, I keep talking about how like how you really feel the emotional weight of this moment. That is 100% the writing and their performance together.
Oh, it's, yeah.
It was perfect.
She's like, I'm just going to sit here and cry. It's fine. It's fine. Brandon Dodge in chat saying, Carolina seems to be taking pages out of her dad's handbook when it comes to lying to people. I learned it from you, Dad!
I learned it from watching you!
Imperial Walt says, bad actions with good intentions. You know what they say about the road to hell.
Exactly. And yep. I will say, to her credit, I do not for a moment doubt that she had the best intentions in mind. Mm-hmm. Unlike her dad, who I feel
was
like
just terrible.
He threw good intentions out the window a long time ago.
Her dad acted out of a lot of selfishness, and a lot of that was grief, and he really should have been talking to someone about it and dealing with it, and he didn't. And you know, some people choose not to do that. Yeah, Dr. Director Leonard Church had problems.
And so it makes sense that his daughter wouldn't necessarily, when there's a problem in front of you, it would make sense that being her father's daughter wouldn't necessarily want to address the problem in what's probably the most mature way.
I mean, and having problems is understandable.
Yeah.
Everyone has problems. Refusing to deal with them or letting your own problems become someone else's problems, especially like he was the head of this military installation and he was directly damaging and experimenting on the people under him. Like, you don't do that.
You're a bad person.
You don't mess with people who trust you and whose lives and livelihoods are in your hands. You don't.
Nope. But we could go off...
He leapt off the slippery slope, and he's a very extreme example of that.
We could go off on a huge tangent about why Dr. Director Leonard Church was a terrible person, a terrible director, and a terrible father, but we're
not
talking about
what the show is about right now.
There are still other things we need to talk about in these episodes.
Oh, there are so many other things we need to talk about in these episodes.
Because with the reveal...
Chad is doing a lot of talk about how they were playing the meta theme when Wash walked off. It didn't strike, like, that didn't hit me as that.
It was
definitely very bass heavy and very ominous, but it wasn't specifically the meta's theme.
I don't know, maybe it was a little bit of the melody. I would have to go back and listen, but like I feel like the meta's theme is very distinctive. You have those really strong guitar noises. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. So I feel like I would have recognized it as the meta's theme if that were the case, but if they were doing a very understated version of it, maybe that wasn't it. I don't know. I would have to go back and listen, but I don't think that was the case.
I don't think it was either. I think we had some very dramatic and some very dark music at that point. It was some really, really good music. But I don't think it was the meta's theme.
I love the meta's theme, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's so distinctive.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. It is very distinctive. And so there are some things that are similar to it, but when they are full on playing the meta's theme, you know it.
And I don't think contextually it makes sense to play the meta's theme here. Because it, like, I don't think that Wash is going to become a meta-like figure. This has nothing to do with the meta or the meta situation. So
we're dealing with AI, but in a very different capacity.
Yeah. To me, contextually speaking, the meta's theme doesn't make sense here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, again, I don't think they do that, and I don't think we're leaning towards that.
No.
I think we're beyond having a meta-type villain for this story and possibly for this series. Like, we really went into that, and it's difficult to go, okay, well, here's your brain-dead bruiser, without going, oh, it's the meta again. Like, this show definitely references its past, but it tends not to retread it. And on those very few occasions where it does, everyone notices. So I don't think they're going to pull out a, oh, here's another meta type villain, and have it stick. I don't think it's going to be a thing.
And that's all the predictions I have
because we've already watched the finale because we're sponsors.
I kind of have to agree. Not necessarily that the show has moved past it. It's just, yeah, the meta's dead.
He got shot a bunch and then drowned.
He's dead.
He's dead. He's super dead. He has shuffled off this mortal coil.
He is singing
with the choir is eternal. I need to memorize the parrot thing and so I can insert meta every time it says parrot and deliver that to people.
Point being, like, we already had sort of a similar follow-up with Locus as a character.
Yeah.
So I think, and again, this whole season has, the last two seasons have been steering away from that with Temple in his reds and blues, and then or blues failing, and red,
failing upwards. Yeah. Yes,
and then in this season, all the time travel stuff. So I feel like we've moved away from that a little bit.
It also makes sense that Temple was so ridiculously successful if he literally had help from God.
Yeah,
or at least influence from God.
It starts to put things in perspective, certainly, like, from last season.
Okay. Yeah, no, that helps.
But with this huge outburst, basically everybody decides to change plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's time travel. What? I just keep laughing about this because I've been a critter for a while. And if you're into Critical Role, Jenga means something completely different to you. So every time they're like, oh, it's Jenga, I'm like, ugh. That is basically their everything's going to shit, please help code word.
For me, thinking about Jenga, I'm like, they're like, oh yeah, you just have to pull out the right piece. And I'm like, no.
Have you ever played a game of Jenga in your life?
That's a load-bearing piece, you ninny! Don't do it!
It's a load-bearing plot point, yeah. No, just every time they're like, oh, it's like Jenga. Oh, it's like Jenga. I'm like, oh, God, when was the last time y'all played Jenga? The point of it is that it's horrible. The longer you play, the more unstable it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Would this be a thing that might have worked if it was the first thing they did when they time traveled? Who knows? Maybe. Is it going to work now?
Probably not. I was going to say, the fact that we've waited this long to address it, and, you know, basically this entire season has been building up to, can we fix Washington using time travel?
Considering that we have that the continual metaphor for time travel has been Jenga, and the thing about Jenga is the longer you play, the more unstable it gets. Jenga is a matter of time. Mm. If you keep playing, eventually everything is going to come tumbling down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the point of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They've been playing for a while. And then they're like, oh, just one more. And I'm like, nope, that's it. This is when
it's
we all die.
It's always that one
it's
more.
It's always that one more.
It's always that
it's always
last
someone
big score.
Being like, we're going to do it real carefully and we're going to be real clever. No, it never is.
No.
It never is.
No.
We're into Critical Role, Jenga, at this point. Like, oh no, oh no, things are going poorly. Oh no. Because that is what Jenga means to me now.
But.
Yeah.
But it's also a decision that doesn't sit well with Huggins. Even Griff.
Poor Huggins.
Who sided with her the whole time for Agent Washington is like, I'm so sorry. We have to do the right thing in this scenario. And she's like, that's not the right thing!
Well, and Tucker kind of having the, oh, actions have consequences revelation again. Like, oh yeah, no, this happened. Oh, things are bad. And part of me is like, it's nice to see him coming back down. And part of me is like, you've been gone for a year. Why didn't you check in? So I don't know.
I was going to say, like, we talked about this a little bit off of AfterBuzz when we first watched the episode. But, like, does this scene between Tucker and Sister make you feel a little bit better? And I don't know how other people feel, but does it make you feel a little bit better about the course that Tucker has been on this season?
A little bit. I think course correction came a little too late for that, but it's not like, oh, we left it here and we're never touching it again. Like, it's a little bit better. I can't say I ship it. Like, I don't, and that's just me. But I do think it's helped.
I think they make sense together. I don't necessarily ship it either. I'm not like, ooh, kiss, 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 like I and with other characters. But I think they make a lot of sense together. It's sad that it had to get to that dark of a point, you know, a couple episodes ago before coming back here. And I also like that it's not necessarily like they're jumping into a relationship either. She straight out says, yeah, I think you kind of killed whatever part of me actually did like you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I deserve that.
Yep.
So I appreciate that too.
And I do like Kai kind of being the straight man for some of this. With that, you can either do nothing or you can save Wash and risk freeing an all-powerful time god. Not much of a choice. And the next scene is, we're going to go save Wash. And she goes, is brain damage contagious? Like, I know you eventually go along with it, but thank you for at least pointing out that Django will eventually fall. And we've gone way past the point where it's safe to play.
The problem is that, you know, Tucker had been avoiding responsibility and accountability for so long, and in this situation, he doesn't necessarily view time travel as avoiding the responsibility or the consequences, like Wash was pointing out in his big speech. He views it as this is his duty as a friend. You know, there's a saying about all it takes for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. So this is the one time in the last. You know, recently, during this whole time travel escapade, that Tucker's like, let's get up and do the right thing. And it just happens to be the wrong thing for the right reasons.
Yeah.
As we've kind of been reiterating.
Yep. It's just, yep, nope. And Carolina also coming in with, someone else is going to build a time machine anyway. Jax has been using it with no repercussions. I'm like, Jax got a hammer to the face, and how can you say that there are no repercussions
to
this?
He has been smoked by a god.
You just can't see them. So it's all of these terrible excuses, and then, well, that's what I've been thinking, but the long and short of it is, it's Wash.
But I mean, like, we get their justifications.
Yeah.
Anybody in their scenario would try to justify it in some way. You can't, like, it's one of those things where it's like, I can't blame them, but it's clearly the wrong thing to do. My fear, like, looking at them getting into, like, the planning stages of this, of like, we're gonna do this, my big fear is, I'm like, you're going to cause Wash to get shot in the head.
Shot in the neck. We've kind of seen this with Sarge, that everything he tried to fix just happened even more so.
Yeah,
And with Caboose, where all of the things that he did were things that were events in history. Things got a little off the rail with Tucker there. Like, I don't...
It's hard to tell, like, what they influenced and what always happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing with Caboose's PowerPoint was, oh, these events had always happened. The Chicago fire, the fire in the Library of Alexandria, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. So, like, and I, like I said, I always adhere to like, in terms of my narrative, I always like, in time travel stories, when time is fixed. Like, you go back to try to prevent something, you in and of itself, like, cause that thing to happen.
Yeah.
To me, those are cleaner, more neatly told time travel stories. I like there being the rules. But here, it's been kind of ambiguous. It's like, did those things always happen, or did they happen because the reds and blues interfered? Like, would it have always been that way if they hadn't interfered with time? And I think the idea is that time is a little bit flexible because pizza was destroyed. So
yeah, that's true.
It's hard to say. But, like, looking at the way time travel has been working for Sarge and for a lot of them, it's like, yeah, they're probably going to end up with causing Wash's accident.
Again, the way to figure out time travel is how it handles paradox. Let me know if there is a me, if there is a when.
Oh, jeez.
So we'll see. We'll see for that one. But, yeah, poor Huggins.
Huggins!
She gets betrayed, and then she gets betrayed again and murdered.
She put her faith in Griff, and he ended up having to turn his back on her. And then she got betrayed by Jenkins, who, screw you, Jenkins, you're a monster.
Pick up the phone. I called it.
You did.
I did.
You absolutely did. What infuriates
me and my ridiculous mythological knowledge. Loki has not always been Tom Hiddleston, you guys.
What I hate about this moment so much is that I'm like, no, her parents were killed by a black hole.
Who knows? He might have killed her parents.
He might have killed her parents.
We don't know. We don't know anything. We just know that, Oh, yeah. No, he's absolutely... He is working for Krovos.
He's working for Krovos. He killed Huggins, which... Oh, that breaks
Muggins
my heart.
Huggins had an incredible eulogy, though. Like, that, yeah. That speech was so... If he came up with that on the spot, dang.
Yeah.
That was so well put together and all of those... just the comments about, we don't really appreciate what we have when it's here. We don't understand the warmth that our friends bring until their absence is cold. It's just like, oh! I'm going to lie here and die.
It was beautiful.
And curse Jenkins all is... of you in chat. Everyone in chat is pressing F to pay their respects.
Oh.
You jerks. I love it. I love it. You jerks.
That's so mean.
That's so sad. Play Despacito.
But
wow. Oh, I was not expecting
so
that, but I love it.
Sad that he's giving this heartfelt eulogy, essentially, and her murderer is standing right there, going, here, here.
And then we have, oh, well, we have to hope, we have to hope. Oh, hey, the Fates are back. Oh, dear.
Never.
I love them.
Never trust weird, creepy singing characters.
Okay, but I this is when we lean really hard into the Norse part of things.
Yeah,
with,
for sure.
With the Norns, with the... Yeah, I love it. Well, the Fates were also great. There's always just this trio of people who tell the future,
I think,
I love it.
I think more Greek mythology when I think of the Fates, you know, sharing the single eye and everything like that. That's type what I
Because
tend to
you saw
of.
Hercules as a kid.
Yes, I did! Indoor plumbing is going
it's
to gonna
be
huge.
Big! Yeah, I definitely... I think of the Norns, but that's because I've also read a lot of... oh, goodness, what's it called?
Iron Druid?
No, the... Oh, that really good comic. Wow, no, I can't think of it. It'll come to me after the show, of course. with the modern gods and with the...
Put it up on Twitter.
Someone out there knows what I'm talking about.
Put it up on Twitter when you remember.
Yeah, yeah. I can see it in my brain. And it's not working.
But point being, we have the Fates basically sending the end is nigh, and Jenkins going, smoke them if you got them! That monster.
Curse that. Yeah. Yeah, that no, I wrote monster. It down. All is lost, the end has come, tonight the sun sets, there will be no dawn. And the, our dreams have ended, and so the nightmare begins. Like, do you always talk like this?
They must be fun at parties.
Yeah. They must be fun at parties.
Well,
oh, man. The Wicked and the Divine. That's the comic.
There you go.
That's
perfect.
What I was thinking of. Yes! Okay. On that note, read that. You'll love it. It'll tear your heart out. It's so good. Yeah. And then Caitlin in chat, because we've got a 2-minute delay. The Wicked and the Divine? Yep. It's that. It's super good. It's available at your local library.
Well done, Caitlin.
Well done. Yes. So we have the finale. It's not going to be a Sunday show. That is probably going to be the Wednesday after we come back from RTX. We're doing this specifically on Sunday because otherwise if we did it on Wednesday, we would have left Mark in the lurch. So there, I believe there is going to be a Wednesday show. Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Wednesday
our usual slot.
Will most likely be camp. And there
single
might,
episode.
And there might be a special interview. So
week after,
stay tuned for details. Yeah.
Wednesday after that should also have a show, I believe. So it's pretty far in the future, but should also have a show. That is the Wednesday right before RTX. That will probably also be a single episode of Camp. And then we should be covering the season finale for this the Wednesday after RTX. The reason that we're saying this so far in advance and that we're on Sunday is because we're traveling a lot.
We are.
So we're not going to be on either of those shows, but we're definitely going to be at RTX. Panels on Friday at 2:30. You should come say hi. It's going to be great.
Please come say hi. We love you. We're going to do our best to put on a good show.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
So yeah, come back on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Pacific, same bat time, same bat channel for Camp. For the Shape of Water episode. Oh my god. It's fun.
And don't forget to follow the entire team at ABTV Rooster Team to stay up to date on all of those details and RTX development stuff. Just schedule changes in general, because if anything changes, that's going to be where we put that information.
Yep. Also, tpublic.com/user/therooster team. It's on sale right now. So if you guys want fun shirts to wear to RTX, stop by, pick up a I Hate the Ships You Like shirt.
That would be one that I personally enjoy.
Yeah, we've got all sorts of fun stuff up there.
I'd love to see some people wearing the Welcome to Fail shirt.
Yes.
That would be lovely.
Because it's almost like that's a part of our panel or something. So yeah, we'll see you guys at RTX. In the meantime, you can follow Mark at Mark B. Donica, I believe, on the social medias, and you can follow Stacy at Stacy Shuttles and Megan.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Menguin. That's TheMenguin. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost. You can follow that at No Love Lost Pod.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you want to see reactions for these episodes, they live on that YouTube channel. I've also recently done coverage from Anime Expo 4, fanversation.com. Go check that out. That is super fun. I feel like I had something else I wanted to say to you guys, but I don't, so that's okay. We adore you all. We will see you back at the usual time for the finale in a couple weeks, and before that for the next two episodes of Camp Camp, and of course we will see you at RTX. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Smoke 'em if you got 'em.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.